Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this beautiful August morning. And this is one of my favorite times of the year, toward the middle end of August and the beginning of September. It's such a beautiful time to go out into the countryside. I believe we're really blessed where we live. Not far from here are beautiful orchards where you can pick apples and peaches at these orchards, you know. And I think of the men, the orchard keepers who care for them and watch over them, and we're blessed to be able to go there and be able to pick beautiful fruit from these trees that are well maintained. And it really motivated me in such a way to find this verse in John 15:5, which will be our sermon text this morning. And I titled it, Abide in Me. And this verse is a beautiful verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I thought about this message, and I was thinking about Jesus and where he would have given this message. Was he in an orchard? Was he near a vineyard? And he takes such simple terms and brings them to reality. And it's just such a beautiful way of doing this that we can resonate with and apply in our life. That's why I titled this Abide in Me, because that's what Jesus is saying. Abide in me. These are some of the most important words that Jesus spoke to his disciples about during his most intimate times with them. He says, abide in me and I in him. This is a command that we must live by. For if we abide in him, we will demonstrate spiritual fruitfulness. For apart from him, we are nothing. We're powerless. We're helpless. So this morning, I'd like us to cover three very important points. First point being, abiding in Christ. Second point being, spiritual fruitfulness. And third, helplessness and powerlessness. So let us begin this morning by covering point one. Every Christian must abide in Christ. But what does abide mean? Well, it means to obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, accept or act in accordance with a rule, a decision, or recommendation. And we know Jesus gave many of these. And we're so blessed to have Christ. I tell you, it's a real blessing. In 1 John 2:6, walking like Christ is so important. And it says here, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So what we're saying, what's being said here is that we're to look like Christ, Christ-likeness, to model your life after Jesus. I believe, brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that only those who obey Jesus really know him. And we need to understand that obedience is the first evidence of love for God. Knowing and believing that only those who are learning to live like Jesus know and love him. In John 15:7, it states, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus says, ask what you desire and it will be done. When we abide in Christ, our prayers will be effective for him. If we don't abide in Christ, they will not be effective. This is why we cannot allow anything to lessen even slightly our worship, service or devotion to God. We need to recognize that it is what you practice of God's word that brings blessing to yourself and others. Jesus said in John 13:17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Blessed are you if you do them. We must do this. We must abide in Christ. John 14:21 states, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Loving God's word as Jesus' follower, Jesus completely aligned his life and will with the Father's. Jesus said in John 8:29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." The Lord is saying here that I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Lord will always be with you. Whatever you're faced with, you must abide in him. Do the things that please him. And this indicates, but here, Jesus, it shows that his total allegiance to the Father's word and commandments was so important to him. It was what he lived by. He also said he disapproved of any attitude that would reduce respect for or teach less than full obedience to the entirety of God's revealed word. And in Matthew 5:17-19, it states, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Thus, on this text, brothers and sisters, when he explicitly links his disciples' love for him as Savior with their will to keep his commandments, we conclude here that Jesus' clear intent was that if we love him, we will love his Father's word also. So we need to abide, remain, do the things that please God. John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The scriptures point to the divine author, our great and mighty God. The written scriptures remain forever identified as the living voice of God. In John 5:39, our Lord declares that the knowledge of the scriptures is the pathway to knowing him well. We need to be in the word. Remember, the scriptures, they remain with us forever. And they're identified as the living voice of God. What a gift to us that they've been revealed to us. And further upon his resurrection, he unveiled the fullness of his own person as revealed in the Old Testament. In Luke 24:27, it states, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So these texts clustered together, okay? They teach us three things: to follow Christ, to know him, and to grow in insight as people walking with the resurrected Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is a basic and a continuing requirement This is a steadfast commitment to hearing, heeding, and studying the Bible. And we move on to point two now. Spiritual fruit. And spiritual fruit is the result of walking worthy of the Lord. In Matthew 13:23 it states, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30." Brothers and sisters, we must be aware that the fruitfulness of the Word of God in your life is determined by your receptivity and teachability. Okay, what we're talking about here is a teachable heart. Okay, we need to determine yourself to obey God's word and pray, "Lord, help me to hear what you're saying this morning or any message or any time you're in the word. Lord, help me to hear." If you don't have a teachable heart, if you have a hardened heart, you better change it for a heart of flesh, my brothers and sisters. And you better prefer God's will to your own. That is, you better do that. John 12:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." But brothers and sisters, there is another aspect of spiritual fruit we must look at this morning. That spiritual fruit is only the result of death of the old life. We cannot think that we can do good works without Jesus. We need to put on the new life. And we need to come to Christ. What we're talking about here, brothers and sisters, is being born again. The new birth, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, a new and fresh start for the Lord. By being obedient in Christ and His ways, the fruit will be from Him and for Him. You will be a vessel to carry the good news of Christ that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:22-24. So again, brothers and sisters, being born again is the first step to beginning a new life, a life of being obedient in Christ and His ways. In Romans 6:21-23, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." So what Paul is saying here is, Paul is giving us the contrast between the old life when we were in sin, slaves of sin. We were eternally damned, separated from God, the ungenerate life. And what he's saying here is, and the new life, a regenerated life in Christ, devoting ourselves to holiness and righteousness, total obedience to Christ. Through this, you will experience spiritual fruit. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, brothers and sisters, devotion to the Lord, devotion to holiness. And what comes from this? A beautiful gift, the gift of everlasting life with Christ Jesus. And the fruit that comes from your life is to glorify God and the kingdom. And this morning, our final point, helplessness and powerlessness is often due to sin and unbelief. We must go over this, brothers and sisters. It's imperative. It's important to understand. In Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Believe, brothers and sisters, with conviction that it is your old sinful nature, not your new nature in Christ, that manifests itself in acts of sin. Get rid of that old sinful nature. Get rid of it. If you're struggling in that area, come before God. Become clean of it. You're a new nature in Christ. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Helplessness and powerlessness, it comes out of your own fleshly nature. If you, brothers and sisters, if you allow this, you will become paralyzed in your life, areas of your life. You cannot allow this to happen. God knows our fleshly desires and knows the spiritual warfare we face every day. But he's given you a way out. We must be careful to avoid and reject the world's way of thinking. That's why every day we need to put on the armor of God. Every single day. We need to give ourselves to constant, faithful prayer. Learn and understand the nature of God's divine protection. He is there for you. I pray and hope that you want it. Ephesians 4:30 states, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." God gave us the Holy Spirit. It dwells within us. And I love this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Not fear, but of power and love, brothers and sisters. Sound mind. A sound mind, that means good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. It includes also the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. This is a sound mind. I'd like to share something with you in Romans 4:20 that really spoke to me. Paul wrote in this, and he wrote a short area about Abraham, and it's about unbelief and overcoming that. Romans 4:20, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." And what this is about is that Abraham and Sarah for 10 years, they were waiting for a child. And some people call it impossible promise of a child in old age. But what happened here was Abraham did not weaken. He grew stronger and continued to give glory to God. It's like he released the creative power of God's word by believing it in the face of challenging circumstances here. And that is a great example for us. When helplessness, powerlessness, unbelief comes around, where do we go? To the word. This is what helps us. These examples of what happened. God's divine protection. We must stand when tempted by unbelief, knowing that God can do what he promises. We need to abide in him. We need to live in a manner that strengthens your faith, our faith, especially the things of God that have become established in our lives. And this is one of my favorite verses, very basic, very simple, but powerful, that has been given to us by our great God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So brothers and sisters, as we close out our message this morning, there are three points we covered. Every Christian must abide in Christ. Spiritual fruit is the result of walking worthy of the Lord. And three, helplessness and powerlessness is often due to sin and unbelief. Brothers and sisters, Jesus used the vine as a representation of himself. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Brothers and sisters, we must abide in Christ so our fruitfulness will glorify the Lord. For apart from him, we are helpless and powerless. Amen. Let us bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for this command to abide in you. Without you, we are nothing. There are so many times, Lord, that we're faced with different circumstances and challenges in our lives. Where are we to turn? We need to be in you, to turn to you. We thank you that you revealed yourself. You revealed your word in the Holy Bible, where we need to be every day. And that you have given us a spirit of power, not of fear and timidity. That when we need you, we call upon you in prayer and bring in our prayers before the throne of grace. And you guide and direct us through those times, Lord, that are challenging. May we not let unbelief set in. May we not let powerlessness, may we reject that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we lift up this time now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.